Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. We're talking about the signs Jesus gave that are recorded in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. Last week we did Matthew 24, which spoke of the signs of the last, very last, during the time of tribulation and the Antichrist. Now, Luke 21, here Jesus is answering some questions that the disciples put to him about when will the temple be destroyed? He had prophesied the temple being destroyed. I'm going to read to you from Luke 21, 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Going back for the two questions that they ask of him in Matthew 24, they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" That is the first question. And question two, "What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Question one, "When shall these things be?" is really the subject of Luke 21. What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He gives more of that in Matthew 24. We're rightly dividing the word, and we're picking up because he's prophesying to them in the year 30 AD, prophesying what will happen in 70 AD, 40 years down the line. Verse 20, Luke 21, 20. "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the destruction thereof is nigh." Of course, it was the Roman armies he was predicting, and it did happen 40 years later. "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries, let them not enter into Jerusalem." If you're out in the countryside, don't come in during those bad days when the Romans will be besieging and destroying the temple. "For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword," more than a million of them, who did not obey Jesus' warning to get out of town. "They fell by the edge of the sword. And others were led away captive into all nations." Now this is the diaspora, the scattering, that is spoken of in Deuteronomy 4. They were indeed scattered to all nations, to the four corners of the earth. But in every place that it speaks of the scattering in the Bible, and there are many places, it speaks of a great ingathering in the last days, just before the Lord comes. And Jesus himself, in this one short sentence, skips almost 2,000 years and prophesies this: "Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." He gives us a length of time that the Lord himself entitled the times of the Gentiles. I'm reading to you now from page 111 of David Barron's wonderful book on Israel and the plan of God. You can get that book from us too. David Barron writes, "Idolatry was the climax of the first stage in the progressive apostasy of Israel, which brought about the Babylonian captivity, with which commences the times of the Gentiles, which only close with the end of this age, when the kingdom shall once again be restored to Israel." Now, it says here that the times of the Gentiles begin with when the Babylonians came and captured them. And it's going to end with the setting up of the millennial kingdom. So we see these times of the Gentiles given to us in the book of Daniel when they first began. They started with the Babylonian captivity, and right at the beginning of the captivity, God always tells us things before they happen so that we will know that he's the true God. Now, here in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that troubled him, and none of his wise men could give him the dream and its meaning. But when he sent for the captive Daniel told him, "I can do it." He said in verse 27 of Daniel 2, The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. He, in the end of verse 29, it says, he that reveals secrets makes known to thee, king, what shall come to pass. So he prophesied what the king saw. He told him what the dream was, and what the king saw was the times of the Gentiles, and it did indeed come to pass. God told history before it happened. The book of Daniel is amazing. I'm going to teach that book of Daniel in one of our upcoming eschatology classes. It's amazing. Verse 31 of Daniel 2. This is Daniel interpreting the king's dream. The king saw a great image, like a warrior. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. Now don't forget that, because Jesus is referring to this in Luke 21. We'll come to it either today or tomorrow. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. He saw this image. He saw it hit by a stone, and that stone was cut out without hands. That means man didn't have anything to do with it. God himself did it. It hit that image, which represented all the governments from the times of Nebuchadnezzar. They went like chaff of the summer threshing floor. You could never see them. They blew away. And the kingdom that God puts upon the earth became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, he interprets who these people are. In verse 38, at the end of the verse, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, you are the head of gold. After you, there shall arise a kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. And he goes on to speak of the iron, how strong it was, and then growing off of the fourth kingdom. There comes a multi-headed kingdom, here it's by 10 toes. We see later in Daniel's vision, and later in the Bible, it's 10 heads, 10 horns. But here it says it's going to be a 10-toed kingdom growing off of the place. The head kingdom was Babylon. Then came the Medo-Persians and overthrew Babylon. Then came Greece and overthrew the Medo-Persians. Then came the Romans and overthrew the Greeks. There was an Eastern Roman Empire, a Western Roman Empire, two legs of iron. And growing out from them is a 10-toed kingdom that will be the last kingdom. And listen what God said about that. Bless the Lord. Verse 43, we'll start there about the 10-toed kingdom. You saw iron mixed with miry clay in the toes. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They don't get along that well. And that's this kingdom right here, I believe, folks, is the European Union. I have teaching on that if you want to order it. And in the days of these kings, the European Union, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall last. It shall stand forever. So the times of the Gentiles are going to go from Babylon right on down to the European Union when this big stone comes and strikes them without hands. Now, we're going to get back to that stone a little later. Right now, we'll just go in order. Verse 25, There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now he's down to the end times, the times of when the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, when things are going to start turning back to that earthly kingdom that's going to be here that belongs to God. And he says there will be distress of nations. Folks, we see it. Nations are in distress everywhere, in perplexity. They don't know what to do. The sea and the waves roaring. Bible prophecy teachers always used to say that this was the nations and all the people. But I'm telling you, we saw a tsunami. We saw hurricanes that have flooded the coasts of our nation. And I believe that it could even have to do with the sea and the waves. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Men don't have the answers. Politically, they stab at each other, but they don't have the answers. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Those powers in the heavenly right now, I believe that's referring to them. Satan set up a double kingdom. And of course, the kingdom had been given, the dominion had been given to Adam, but Satan came and Adam turned it over to him. And he set up in those heavenlies a double kingdom system. You see it when the angel eventually took him 21 days to get down past the king of Persia, and then he said, I'm going to have to go back and deal with a king of Grecia. Well, these are Satan's kings. Satan's not in hell, folks. He's in that double kingdom system, but he's being shaken out of there. He who's had a lot to do with the weather upon the earth since the fall, and it went into the curse, those powers of heaven shall be shaken. Praise the Lord. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Folks, they is not you. They is they. And the people on the earth at the very last, they're going to see him come in a cloud with power and great glory. That's his second coming. Every eye shall see it. He'll put his feet down on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14. You, however, will have been raptured. Here are you in verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, as far as the church is concerned, the only redemption we lack is our bodily redemption. And we are looking up, that redemption draweth nigh. As far as the people on earth are concerned, they are to look up to, for their help cometh from the Lord. And there will be those who will look up and see him when he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives and will immediately mourn for him and repent. And there'll be the sheep nations, and there'll be those Jews who are alive at that time that will go into the earthly kingdom. Now, we are offering for you Matthew 24, last week's teaching, this week's teaching, Luke 21. They'll come on two CDs, $5 each. You also can get from us a book we want you to have, The Mountains of Israel by Norma Archbold. That's coming back up again. They're trying to give away what the world calls the West Bank. And so you can get these things from us by calling us at 1-800-972-3447. Going online, billybrim.org. You can actually listen to the radio programs right there online. You can give us snail mail. We still would love to receive mail. Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And close an offering if you can. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow.